Roethlisberger, the quarterback, was all hug it, chug it, football all night.
Hearts are pounding in Denver. Nobody but Terrell here. Davis into the end zone, rocking, standing up. Denver is in the lead. Denver's gonna win it. Oh, baby, they're gonna win this thing.
Probably the final play of the game.
It is caught by Dyson. Can he get in? No, he cannot. And the Rams have won the Super Bowl.
There's one thing I want to say here tonight. It's only four words. This one's for John.
Welcome back to the 2019 NFL season preview, name change pending. This is your host, Brian Preece. You can find me on Twitter at bpreece24. That's at bpreece24. I'm joined today by Tommy Jerome. Tommy, you want to give him your Twitter handle?
Yep, my Twitter handle is Ruthless Lupe. That's RUTHLESS_LUPE. Again, that's Ruthless_Lupe.
Beep, 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 beep. We've been doing a lot. So we've gone through most of the divisions in the NFL. Up next, we've got the NFC West with Tommy. So who are you starting with, Tommy?
I'm going to go ahead and start off alphabetically with the Arizona Cardinals. And I'm not sure that this is all alphabetically, but I just know Arizona Cardinals is.
You're right.
The
A's
first
are
team.
First. None of the teams start with a number. Well, I guess
true.
The 49ers, but that's not their city.
Fair. So, Arizona Cardinals. Last season, they finished 3-13. As far as coaches, Cliff Kingsbury. Old Cliff. Good old Cliff is back in the building. I don't think he's back, but he's in the building now.
Yeah, the guy who got fired from Texas Tech because he wasn't a good enough head coach.
Hey, it's the Cardinals, man. He's the only reason Kyler Murray decided to play football.
I mean,
I'm not
wrong.
Sounded
to me like you're not wrong.
I'm not. Who they picked up, they've got Charles Clay, a tight end from the Bills. They've picked up a linebacker, Jordan Hicks from the Eagles. Terrell Suggs from the Ravens. So, yeah, with Terrell Suggs and Jordan Hicks, it looks like they're just looking to add to their defense that has been much needed with that 3-13 record.
Yeah, they have struggled.
Yeah, and then they also lost their safety,
Antoine Bethea.
Oh, Bethea. Yeah, they lost him. I don't know if he was any good. What do you got on him?
He was okay. I mean, he was a replacement level safety. Average.
So a lot of their key acquisitions happened in the draft. I mean, they got Kyler Murray first overall out of Oklahoma. Could have been a baseball player. Could have been a contender. But
I think Cardinals fans hope he still is.
Yeah.
We'll see.
What's funny is everyone was doubting this guy right off the bat, and then a report came out that he's 5'10", and his stock just went boom.
Right?
I'm like,
yeah.
An inch. You guys are flipping out over an inch, and he's probably wearing that cleat, the cleat.
Yeah, if he was 5'9", people were saying he might fall out of the first round. But, he's 5'10".
Woo! Well, he's huck it, chuck it, football. Next, they drafted Andy Isabella. But second round, 62 overall out of Massachusetts. They think he's going to be a big vertical threat. Hopefully, Kyler Murray can get it to him. If he's going to be a vertical threat, I don't know. I'm not really stuck on this Kyler Murray guy. I think he needs to prove himself. Because I don't think 5'10 makes you a franchise quarterback that everyone's making him out to be.
I mean, not going too in-depth, but I agree. I think Kyler Murray is a lot of hype, and it's going to be tough to match up with some substance.
Yeah. Looking to be healthy, I mean, Charles Clay, their free agents that they got this year are looking to stay healthy. Charles Clay's been having knee issues. And, I mean, Jordan Hicks has just been trying to stay healthy for the whole season. He hasn't – I mean, when he was playing for the Eagles, he was having trouble staying healthy.
Yeah, I don't think Jordan Hicks played a full season in his career yet.
Yeah, so best case scenario for them, I think they're not a complete dumpster fire that they were last year. They have a new coach, new quarterback. Hopefully they can figure some things out and turn it not into a dumpster fire, but just a burnt dumpster. So, you know, a dumpster that was already
smoldering.
Yeah, just it's still hot. Ow. Ooh, ooh.
Oh,
still has a little, you know, still has the coals.
Hot spots. Get the hose over here.
Yeah. Worst case, stays a dumpster fire. So that dumpster fire doesn't go out and it's, you know, it's going to keep the homeless warm. So my prediction, they're going to be under 500. I don't see them winning 500 games. I don't think the addition of Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury is going to lift this team above 500. I think they didn't give Rosen a chance. I'm not even a big Rosen fan, but they didn't give him a chance enough to even earn the quarterback spot. They got Kyler Murray, and I guess Kyler Murray's the guy, but I don't think he's that guy. I don't think he's a stud as everyone thinks he is. I think he's going to struggle in the NFL.
Yeah, I agree. You know, quick summary, my prediction with the Cardinals, Kyler Murray is just too small. I think that Cliff Kingsbury got fired at Texas Tech for a reason. I think he was hired as an offensive coordinator at USC for a reason. Some guys are good coordinators and not good head coaches. I think the Cardinals are going to be terrible. I think they might be worse than they were last year. Probably not, but I don't see them winning more than three games.
And don't get me wrong, like, I'm not a Kyler Murray hater. I hope the guy does well, but it's just the hype is just unreal with this kid. And I don't think, and I feel like the pressure on him, I don't know if he's going to be able to live up to the hype, and that's unfortunate. Because if he has a bad game or he doesn't perform, you fans are going to be like, get rid of him. Tua, tank for Tua.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's unfortunate the position he's in. It's just the same position that Rosen was in.
Yep.
I'll get going on Rosen too. I think he's in an unfortunate spot. If he doesn't win, they're going to draft another quarterback, and then he's going to be in the same predicament he was. So,
a quarterback in the NFL was a tough job. So, I mean, that's probably all we had for the Cardinals, right, Tommy?
Yeah, yeah. Next, I got the Rams.
Yeah, those pesky Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah, the Los Angeles Rams. But I believe best record in the NFL last year at 13-3.
Sure.
I'm not sure. I don't know anyone who did better. If whoever did better was the Chiefs and they went.
I mean, really, if you watch the regular season, the two best teams
were
the Chiefs and the Rams.
But,
so, yeah.
But when it comes down to the playoffs, those pesky Patriots.
Yeah, well, at least the Rams made it to the Super Bowl.
True. Key acquisitions, Blake Bortles making an appearance in a Rams jersey. He's going to back up Jared Goff. So hopefully the Rams never need him to be quarterback ever. Next, Eric Weddle, strong vet. I think he has a lot of IQ. I think he's going to, you know, help that young secondary out. Hopefully his declining athleticism doesn't hurt them too much. Hopefully he can still play the game at a high level. Clay Matthews, who hasn't been the same Clay Matthews in the mid-2000s, late-2000s that he was when the Packers won the Super Bowl. So hopefully aging Clay Matthews and an aging Eric Weddle doesn't hurt this team too much. You know, some big names, but honestly.
When you sign free agents like that, I kind of think the Rams' philosophy has been a little bit flawed the last couple years, and they're more focused on signing star names than they are star players and bringing production in. But, you can't argue with it either because they made the Super Bowl last year and had an opportunity to win it. And they look to be one of the best teams this year. But I question the players that they're bringing in as far as how productive they're going to be in their older, you know, I guess later in their careers.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I'll see how it goes. As far as losses, I think, you know, they lost C.J. Anderson, backed up Gurley. When Gurley got hurt, he was somewhat productive. So I think they'll be hurting there because I don't think Gurley's going to – I think they're going to handle Gurley with kid gloves with his bad knees. Mm-hmm. And so they're not going to want to have a big workload on him.
Well, but they did – they drafted a running back. Bear with me here for a second because I'm looking at the name. Yeah, Darrell Henderson. They drafted him out of Memphis this year. So they're really hoping that he can come in and spell Todd Gurley. From what I saw, they're hoping that Gurley can take about 60 to 70% of the snaps this year and give Henderson a fair amount of run.
Yeah, and let's hope, you know, Gurley can get healthy enough to be that back that they paid him to be. Ndamukong Suh, that terrorizer in the middle. I think they've lost a big asset there. I mean, he's consistent, doesn't miss a lot of games, and he's just a terrorizer in the middle. I mean, say what you want about his character, but it's still just like he's a terrorizer. Yeah, and Ndamukong Suh next to Aaron Donald, like that was a deadly combination. I think that middle was just so scary. Am I right, Brian?
Oh yeah, that was the toughest defensive front by far last year. Aaron Donald alone makes for a top five defensive front, and then yeah, you add Suh to that. It's a tough squad, so that could be a loss, definitely.
Yeah, and then they also lost a consistent guard, Roger Saffold.
Mm-hmm.
He went to the Titans. He was a consistent guard, and when you lose consistency on the O-line, that's when teams really struggle, is when you can't have a consistent force to guard your quarterback or to even to create lanes for your running back. You can't have consistency there. You're going to hurt.
Yeah, it's true. Offensive line is unlike any other position in football, where communication and just knowing where the guy next to you is going to be and how he's going to read a play is so big. Losing some of that consistency could have a big impact on the Rams offense.
Oh yeah, and hopefully, you know, Cooper Kupp, wide receiver, was out for most of the season, tore his ACL. Hopefully bringing him back.
The word is on Kupp that he's I mean, everybody who comes back from an injury, but it seems legit with Kupp that he's stronger, he's faster, he trusts that knee, he's cutting at 100%. So I anticipate him being pretty productive.
Yeah, so like with between him and Woods, I think they're going to have some pretty good wide receivers.
Well, and don't forget Brandon Cooks either.
Oh, Brandon Cooks as well.
Yeah.
So these guys have quite some weapons. And then Todd Gurley, unfortunate. Arthritis in the knee.
Yeah, Gurley with arthritis. And that's, you know, it's in a lot of ways it's worse than an injury because it's degenerative. And you don't come back from arthritis. It doesn't get better. So that's going to be something to watch with the Rams. And especially unfortunate because they gave Gurley that gigantic contract last year.
Yeah, and like how I put it, it's unfortunate. It's like when mo money, mo knee issues. Like, it's unfortunate. Like, he got that payday, but now he's having these issues, and it's unfortunate.
Well, I think you can speak from experience when it comes to knee issues. It's hell on the body. Like, you don't work the same. You can't do the things you thought you would be able to.
Yeah, and it's true. Like, you can't cut like you used to. It's in your back of your mind. You have to – you can't gain weight. You have to – you know, you – it's tough. As far as their best case, they win the NFC Championship. I think they are the best team in the NFC. Did I say AFC? I meant NFC. But they'll win the NFC Championship. Worst case, they divisional loss. They lose in the divisional round with no Todd Gurley because of his knees. My prediction is Todd Gurley's handled with kid gloves. I think his knees start bothering him and they lose him throughout the season, and then they lose in the wild card. I didn't give exact their exact record, but I think, you know, they end up making it to the wild card, but they lose in the wild card.
Before I make my prediction, I just want to mention, I'm not sure if you had seen this, Tommy, because you were at school all day, but they signed Jared Goff to a new four-year, $134 million deal today. So they have their quarterback locked up, and they obviously feel comfortable with him, and they don't like Blake Bortles as a backup either. So... sorry, Blake. But as far as my prediction goes, I think the Rams take a big step back this year. I think they're still good, and they compete for a playoff spot, especially in that division. It should be relatively easy to make the playoffs, win the division. If they can win 10 games, they should win the division and then get knocked out in either the wild card round or the division round.
Yeah, most definitely. Next, we got the Niners. 49ers out of San Francisco went 4-12 last year, unfortunately. We're able to get a good draft pick in Nick Bosa.
Really, they got your boy's brother.
Yeah, I'm really big on the Bosa brothers. Yeah, but and he sat out for Ohio State too that last season.
Yeah, he played in the first game with Ohio State, suffered an abdominal injury, and then didn't see the field again. And I think it was the first day of training camp. Within the first 10 minutes or so, he suffered a high ankle sprain with the 49ers and hasn't participated in a team workout since. I mean, he's been out of football at this point for basically 15 months. That's tough.
That is tough.
As a rookie, like, you got to learn the league and you've been out of football that long.
That, and then you got to worry about being in shape when you want to come back. That's how you get other injuries. That's when you start pulling muscles.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really unfortunate. As far as acquisitions, they were able to get Tevin Coleman from the Falcons, running much needed running back with an injured McKinnon.
Yeah.
So I think
it sounds like McKinnon's still not healthy from the ACL last year.
Yeah, he's still not. He's probably not going to get a lot of. If he does come back this year, probably not. So he'll probably be their starter in a very weak running back set. Then they got Quan Alexander from the Bucks. Some character issues off the field, but he has the talent to start. So
I like him on the field.
Yeah. So I mean, it's tough, but you know, hopefully his issues off the field don't affect him being able to perform on the field, and by that I mean suspensions. They got Dee Ford from the Chiefs, to help with their pass rush. So hopefully when Nick Bosa gets in shape and gets on the field, they'll have a decent pass rush between the two of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's really what it comes down to for the 49ers. They hope that Jimmy Garoppolo can come back healthy, and defensively they can take a step forward. I'm not sure if you saw this in your research, Tommy, but last year the 49ers actually only intercepted two passes all season. So if your secondary can't force turnovers, it's very difficult unless your offense can hold on to the ball. And when they lost their starting quarterback in Garoppolo in week four, I mean, it pretty much spelled doom for their season last year.
Yeah, and so hopefully he can stay healthy after the ACL tear. ACL tear. They lost Pierre Garçon. Free agent. He wasn't really performing anyway, so they don't really hurt with this loss. Same with Alfred Morris. Like, they just signed Tevin Coleman, so there was no reason to even sign out Morris. Like, it was pointless.
Mm-hmm.
And then talking about the draft, we just touched on Nick Bosa. They drafted him for second overall. Got hurt. Hasn't participated in a team activity since. Deebo Samuel, second round, 36, out of South Carolina. With his route running and everything, he could start at wide receiver for this team, and it's his position to lose. We drop balls, whatever it may be. And then also Jalen Hurd from Baylor, third round, 67 overall. I mean, and he also played some running back, so even if it's a weak running back core, maybe they put him Jalen Hurd out in running back and see what he can do.
Yeah, and Hurd is a guy I think they like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's big, 6'5", 230, I think. Somewhere around there, solid.
So let me ask you this question as I look at their depth chart. They've got Deebo Samuel listed second on a wide receiver chart behind Marquise Goodwin. How many times in practice do you think he said, "Who wants some of Deebo?"
So anyway, no, I'm just kidding.
No, we should move on.
Yeah, no. that was a good one. So as far as, you know, hopefully Garoppolo can come back from that ACL tear, and you prick, can come back after tearing his ACL in week three of last season. Hopefully he can bounce back and give us that 5-0 record he gave him before they gave him all that money. And hopefully he can sling the rock. McKinnon tore his ACL in camp, missed that whole season, is still on the IR. I don't think it's fully healthy. I think it's confidence issues now. I think it's more mental. I don't think he's prepared to play on it, and unfortunately, like, that hurts them.
Yeah.
And then also Quan Alexander tore his ACL, but you know, they're looking for him to compete still. Tore his ACL. Best case, they have a 500 season. Best case.
Best case. Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Well, for a dumpster fire.
Okay.
What do you think best case?
No, I'll give my prediction, but
okay.
I mean, this is
worst
yours.
Worst case, they get Tua because they realize Garoppolo isn't the quarterback they want. They want to rebuild with Tua. And my prediction is they do so bad, they get Tua in the draft.
Well, and that's the thing about Garoppolo's contract is it's structured in such a way that they could move on from him after this year with very little dead money. So it wouldn't surprise me if they struggle and they go win between 2 and 4 games. I could see that being a thing where they move on from Jimmy Garoppolo, say he gets hurt again, 3 straight years where he gets hurt, and it'd be easy to move on from that. As far as my prediction, I really think as far as starters go, this is a decent 49ers team. I don't think they have very much depth, if any at all, but as long as they can stay healthy, this team should be able to compete for 8 or 9 wins and possibly push the Rams for the division title. Realistically, it's the NFL and nobody stays healthy, so I have the Niners probably winning 5 to 6 games, maybe 7 if Garoppolo can stay healthy and be an elite quarterback that they think he is, then 7 games is realistic. Okay, so I mean that finishes up with the 49ers, and then we've got the Seattle Seahawks, they're the last team in the NFC West.
So yeah, the Seattle Seahawks finished 10-6 last year. That's about all I know. I don't really. Did they go to the playoffs? Do you remember, or did they go to a wild card?
I want to say they at least played in a wild card game.
Yeah,
but it was a forgettable season for Seattle, especially compared to the last half decade.
Yeah, very forgettable. Like I don't remember anything. They were able to acquire Jadeveon Clowney from the Texans, traded a couple linebackers and a third-round pick.
Yeah, right around cut day, the last weekend.
Yeah, the last week of cut day, they traded a couple linebackers and a draft pick for Clowney. Hopefully Clowney can stay healthy for the Seahawks to help with a pass rush. As far as losses, they lost their big wide receiver threat, Doug Baldwin. Just wants to live life, doesn't want to further his issues with CTE in the future. He just wants to live his life.
Yep.
And go on. Mike Davis just became too expensive. Bears paid him some money to go play a game that he loves. Earl Thomas, the finger saw around the world. Don't think he wanted to play for the Seahawks anymore.
Didn't seem like it, did
it? Nope. So he went to the Ravens. So hopefully, you know, they're going to be hurting at safety because he's one of the better safeties in the NFL.
I mean, there was a good half decade where he was the best safety in the league.
They lost. Frank Clark went to the Chiefs, came too pricey after being just a stud.
Yeah.
And then Cam Chancellor, they just released. They released after, you know, just after 2017, he's just never been the same.
Yeah, injuries. He had a neck injury and really hasn't come back healthy since, unfortunately. It's tough to see.
Yeah. The big draft addition, DK Metcalf, wide receiver out of Mississippi.
Big is right.
And
monster.
Fast, but he's fast.
I mean, wonderful, but can he play?
I was wondering, you probably know more about this. Why did he drop so far in the draft?
He was never productive at Ole Miss. And to me, in the draft, there was a couple teams I was hoping would pick him. Like Jacksonville, I was really hoping would pick him just because Jacksonville it is just so combustible, and I felt like he'd go into that. I mean, it doesn't matter. But I'm looking at DK Metcalf, and I think he's a workout warrior. And he's not a football player. He's a guy who looks good in the underwear Olympics at the NFL Combine. And he looks good in training camp. But when you put the pads on and you start hitting, I don't know if he's going to be good or not. The Seahawks have raved about him throughout training camp, so I could be wrong on this one. But I didn't want the Broncos to take him.
Yeah. Well, hey, you look good, play good, play good, pay good. All right?
I don't like that, Tommy. That was nice.
Yeah.
Write that down.
Yeah, write that in the little green notebook of yours. They also drafted Gary Jennings in the 4th from West Virginia. Just, you know, they're just looking to add more wide receivers after Baldwin decided to retire.
Mm-hmm.
They
spent all their money on offense on Russell Wilson. So,
yeah, so
you gotta pick.
Someone has to catch the ball. He can't catch himself. He's no Mariota. So looking to stay healthy. But Chris Carson, running back, I guess he just had some injuries. And then Will Dilsey, tight end. They need a tight end. I don't think he's...
Yeah, Disley.
Disley.
He It seemed like he had a couple games where he put up numbers, but he was inconsistent last year. I don't know if he's somebody that you would want to depend on as your number one tight end.
Yeah. And then Bradley McDougald? I don't know. He's safety. I'm not good with words, people.
Yeah,
don't
McDougald.
Yeah,
you got it.
McDougald. Tore his patella
tendon.
Just
put the letters together.
Tore his patella tendon. After suiting up for every game in 2018.
Oh, really?
And then had partially torn a patella tendon and got it fixed. So hopefully he can be back and be able to start week one.
Hopefully.
Because they definitely need a safety after Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor are out this season.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to give a shout out being a Utah State kind of alum.
Bob,
I mean,
Wagner.
I took a couple classes at Utah State, but my man Bobby Wagner, the best linebacker in football.
He's a contender.
Let's go, Aggies.
Boo.
Hey.
No, he's all right.
Tommy.
All right. I like Bobby.
It's not BYU.
Fair. But I do like Bobby. He's a stud. 99 in Madden.
So he is.
I'm honored.
You got to shout it out.
Yep.
So what else you got?
Best case, they go to the wild card. Worst case, no playoffs with the lack of wide receivers, injuries. My prediction is they maybe make it to the wild card.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Last year, there were some whispers about it being the end of the Seahawks' run, and then they went 10-6 and made the playoffs. This is the year I think the run actually ends. They've got a lot of guys on offense who you wonder if you can trust as far as their health goes, with Chris Carson, Tyler Lockett as their number one wide receiver, DK Metcalf, Gary Jennings are both question marks just because they're so young. Will Disley is not an all-pro tight end. The offensive line should be better than it's been, but, I mean, that's also, like, I mean, is a flaming pile of shit better than just a bag of poop? Like, that's the question. I don't know. But defensively, the Jadeveon Clowney pickup could be big if he can stay healthy. He's yet to stay healthy, but maybe.
Yeah.
Then they've got Zeke Ansah on the other side of the other side of the defensive line, also struggles with health. I mean, I just wonder if this team's going to be a kind of a mash unit when it gets to the end of the season.
Right, we'll see.
My prediction for the Seahawks is, like I said, I think this is the year it ends, the Seahawks' demise, and they miss the playoffs. They're probably third in the division this year, right ahead of the Arizona Cardinals. And I mean, one down year for Russell Wilson, that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's married to Sierra, so he's okay.
Yeah, I don't know pop culture.
Oh,
yeah, Sierra Canyon, Sierra Mist.
No, but we'll just put that to bed.
Canyonero.
So this has been name change pending.
No, I want to give a thank you to Tommy for joining us on the podcast today and joining us for name change pending. This has been our 2019 NFL season preview. And again, thank you to all the fans for joining us. We enjoy putting this together, and hopefully you guys like what you hear. Feel free to reach out to me, your host, Brian Preece, on Twitter, @bpreece24. That's @bpreece24. You find Tommy on Twitter at
@ruthless_lupe. That's RUTHLESS_lupe.
Bam, 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 bam! We appreciate you joining us on Name Change Pending today. Make sure and jump on Twitter. Follow your hosts, Brian Preece, @bpreece24, Tommy Girone, @ruthless_lupe, and Josh Keel, @riseandshout. Also, we know that you're busy, but if you could take 2 minutes out of your day and give us a 5-star rating on your podcatcher of choice, that would be so amazing. Help us move up those algorithms. I don't totally understand how they work, but I know with some 5-star ratings, the podcast shows up higher on the lists. And we want to help other people find the show, don't we? Doesn't really matter what you say for us. Maybe suggest some new verses for Ruthless Lupe. But thanks again for joining us, and stay tuned for more episodes of Name Change Pending.